The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Knuckles and preparing my, hey, babe, I'll have dinner ready tonight when you get home. Is it cool if I just run to the golf course tomorrow morning? I'll probably be up before, you know, the kids won't be up till 9. They'll probably stay up late tonight. You think you mind if I just sneak out for 18 holes? You know, I got a thing I'm playing in next week. Just want to make sure I get out there and can swing the club the right way. Hey, do you mind? I'll send that text in the next break and report back to everybody how it went. It's always a very nerve-wracking thing. My wife, very understanding about the golf habit. I think it's my only true vice. I don't go around, you know, going out for drinking nights with the buddies. My wife and I usually are the ones hanging out on the deck with our neighbors. I don't smoke. I don't do anything like that. I'm not puffing Marlboros. I'm not sitting there smoking Camel Unfiltered, smelling like a chimney. Golf is the only thing. So usually she's very good about it. I don't know why I'm nervous about this one today. But I got to, if you've ever been in this situation, fellas, you know you've got to craft the perfect text. And then I saw one of those dumb memes that actually like rang very true to me. No one is more productive than a husband with an imminent tea time. And it was a guy like getting his entire house clean, like being like this perfect, like, look, I did all these things around the house. You're good. You can just hang out. Nothing. I was like, this speaks to me. Because even if she didn't know I was angling to play golf, if my wife saw me like, you're folding all the laundry, you're vacuuming all, you're cleaning like toilets here right now. What are you doing? Oh, you probably want to play golf tomorrow, right? Because I think it's just, it's like being a kid again, right? You say like to your parents, if you want something, well, look, I cleaned my room. I did all this. That's me. Like, I want to play 18 holes. Look what I did. I organized the garage, took out the trash, cut the grass. Look at me. I'm perfect. I can't wait for Donnie, by the way, to understand these joys. He doesn't play golf, but he has things he likes to do. He'll be a married man soon enough. Next year, he'll understand. He'll get it. Steelers get to camp tomorrow. It's a signpost day in what we do for a living here. And I think on most sports fans' calendars, hey, you report to camp. It doesn't have the same je ne sais quoi. It does not have the same time-honored feel and whatever of pitchers and catchers report. Hope springs eternal. NFL's is more like business. It's time. When you hear pitchers and catchers report, you know the seasons are changing for the warmer up north. Like, oh yeah, baseball, how nice. Training camp breaks, team reports to camp. It's like, holy crap, it's on. I've already seen one picture of George Pickens getting stripped from behind on a long play at Cowboys training camp by Deron Bland. So we're running. I was trying to do the math before the show. I was actually sitting here trying to think about this. The Steelers have had, for various reasons, one of which is they are just one of the most highly scrutinized teams in the NFL. They have had very intriguing seasons of recent vintage for various reasons. And I was trying to think, given all of the offseason movement here, given how many things happened that were outside the realm of what usually happens for the Steelers or with the Steelers, where this one ranked. And so like my little like primer sentence for myself, my brainstorming sentence was basically, this is their most intriguing season upcoming since blank. Couple thoughts I had. The last year of Ben, 2021. I think because we all knew after they kind of wanted 2020 to be his swan song and they were like, hey, we're giving you a pay cut. And he said, okay, I'll still take $15 million. They tried to do the quiet, let him quiet quit, and he wouldn't. So then you knew 2021 was going to be it. And I think there was a weird push-pull. Like, I think he didn't quite want to go. He wasn't going to fight it anymore. They were definitely going to be done with him after that. Just the curiosity factor, what was left in the tank, I think, for him. Because he looked physically like a diminished version of himself, and that's more a compliment to what he was at his peak physically than a detriment or me dogging him, saying he was a bum. He was just physically one of the most dominant players at the position when he was right, and he was not that guy anymore. The first year post-AB, so the year Ben tore his elbow up, I felt like was a very interesting year heading in. You had cleared out a guy who both was a massive distraction at that point, but was also still an insanely productive player, and you were going to try to enter into a new sort of realm, or you were going to enter into a new era without him, and you were going to get some answers to questions about, like, okay, how good is the quarterback without his best receiver? How good is Juju without the guy that took all the attention away? I thought that year had some juice. And then it became very strange. It became kind of a year defined by a cult hero because Duck Hodges got there. COVID year was bizarre for and intriguing for different reasons. The bottom line is I think it's got to be their biggest and most intriguing year in at least 4 or 5 years, probably since Ben's last year, but I could probably go back to 2019, which is the 2019 really stands as the beginning of the end. We didn't know it at the time, and I know 2020, they ended up coming out of the chute with the big unbeaten streak, and I've talked many times at length about how that team felt like a paper tiger, and I think even all but the most ardent fans pretty much agreed with that by 9 or 10 games in, right before the streak ended. Like, yeah, this team is not what they actually look like. They look like more of a team that's going to go out quietly if they get to the playoffs, which they did, and they did. So I would say at least in 5 years or so. I know Kenny's first year as the man, you can argue, was intriguing, but for those of us who had sort of made a bit of a judgment on him, it maybe didn't have the same level of juice in that realm, that setting. This feels like a monster year. It really does. And I know that that's ridiculous to say about the Steelers on its face because they're the whole nothing changes, everything stays the same. You're never in danger of losing a job if you're the head coach here. You're hardly ever in danger of losing a job if you're an assistant coach here. There's a certain way they do things. They don't play like with the volatility of the rest of the NFL. They march to their own, drum. They do things their own way. Even knowing how inherently conservative the organization is, it feels like the following people, I think, are under the gun might not be the right word, but I think we're entering into uncharted territory for some people. Mike Tomlin's the first and foremost guy on this list. I say we're entering an uncharted territory for him for this reason. I would say if I own the team, this point would have been reached a while ago. I do think with Art Rooney, it might be reached this year if this goes belly up. Art Rooney said he wanted one of the two guys that quarterbacked the team last year to be back. That isn't happening. And it isn't happening, I think, in large measure because Mike Tomlin had his sights set on Aaron Rodgers the second he realized Aaron Rodgers was probably going to be available for the picking. He has tried Mitch Trubisky into Kenny Pickett, Kenny Pickett straight away, then going back to Mitch, then Mason Rudolph, then Justin Fields when he intended to make it Russell Wilson, then went rogue and went Russell Wilson, went lone wolf, whatever you want to call it. He cycled through basically a half dozen quarterbacks, has Mike Tomlin, almost a half dozen since Ben retired. This will be number 6. None of them has worked out better than Mason Rudolph did for a 3-game string at the end of 2023. I would think if I were the owner, I would think this is bottom line the year where if it goes bad again and it's the quarterback and the offense that go bad, I don't know where there would be for Mike Tomlin to hide. We know how much faith the owner shows in him. We know how they've all said things, the owner, the GM, how lucky they are to work with him. That might be the public face of it, the public sentiment that they put forth. If, say, Aaron Rodgers looks more like the guy that wasn't good for the Jets while their season was cratering and not the guy who put up good numbers down the stretch in relatively meaningless games, I would think that Art Rooney would say, man, now you're on double secret probation. You still got a couple years left under contract here. If it doesn't turn around and you don't find the right guy in the draft this year and you don't show me that you're going to be able to coach this guy and get the most out of him and surround him in an environment where he's going to be maximized, bye-bye. We're going to mutually, what was Gwyneth Paltrow's ridiculous? We're going to consciously uncouple as organization and coach. We're going to mutually part ways when it becomes convenient to do so. I do think that the areas for Mike Tomlin to hide, not just locally, we know that locally with fans, this has been this way for a while. I think nationally it's going to come down on him if it doesn't work. People will blame Aaron Rodgers, but I think sensible people are starting to slowly come around to what actually is happening here with him. I don't think he'll have a lot of cover to run. TJ Watts, you just got paid, dude. Huge year for him. You've never won a playoff game. This team is paying you like they think you are a quote-unquote quarterback-level impact maker. Make one. $41 million a year. Go. You can look through the roles until Micah Parsons signs his deal, inevitably. It'll say highest paid players by annual value. It'll be a bunch of quarterbacks, and then it'll be TJ Watt. Trent Jordan Watt. Show that you're worth it. Who was it today that said, somebody said this, it was Kyle Long, Chris Long's brother, Howie Long's son, offensive player, not a defensive player, the Bears lineman. He said he thinks TJ Watt will become a top three Steeler when all is said and done. Hell no. Hi, let's do this the easy way. Bradshaw, Ben, Joe Green. Bye. That's just playing the easy game of the six Super Bowl winning quarterbacks or the six Super Bowls and the two quarterbacks who've won them and the greatest player in franchise history. TJ Watt's got a long road to hoe to even start sniffing, I don't know, like the top six, seven. There are dudes who are Hall of Famers who won a lot here when it mattered who are still way ahead of him. Aaron Rodgers, I feel like I don't need to explain. He seems like he's vibing anyway. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers seems like the most unbothered person of all these people talking about peace, love, and happiness and how excited he is to get it going. But, I mean, I think there's pressure and there's intrigue there because he definitely wants to end his career not like a chump. Listen, I'd sign up for the Brett Favre ending for him where he throws a back-breaking pick if it happens in the AFC title game. Now, in the moment, I will be dog-cussing him if that were to happen, but you can point me back to July 22nd at 4:08 when, and you could say, hey, Malzi, go back in the archives. 6 months ago or whatever, you said you'd sign in blood for this, and I'd be like, you know what, you're right. I would. I would take the Brett Favre ending. I'm sure he would take something approaching that. And guess what? There's one other group of people. There's two other people, I think, who are under a microscope this year. One of them just got a contract extension, but with fans, I think it's different. Omar Khan and Andy Weil. You drafted bookend tackles who are still major question marks for different reasons heading into this season. It's absolutely put up or shut up time for Broderick Jones when it comes to the fifth-year option and how he plays this year. And I think it's put up or shut up time in a way for Troy Fautanu. You drafted a player that some people thought was a guard. You have faith in him to play right tackle. One of the reasons he might have been looked at a little bit more cautiously around the league is injury concerns. Whoops. What happened last year? Injuries. General manager now is 3 years into this tenure. He didn't draft Pickett, but he's had three draft classes. And the first one should start fully bearing some fruit now. We know Andy Weidel's the personnel arm of it. We know he makes the board. We know Omar tries to make the moves. I think they were more impactful. I think Omar specifically had a much bigger hand in this Jalen Ramsey stuff and the Minka trade and everything else than maybe we would otherwise be led to believe. Okay, you're given more autonomy. You're given more freedom. You're not. It's not the Mike Tomlin-only show then. Then you get to come on in. Welcome in. You get to get blamed the same way he does if things go belly up. It's the most intriguing Steelers season since blank. I think you got to go back at least to Ben's final year, maybe longer, maybe back to 2019, the first post-AB year when it felt like a different era was starting. The late stages of Ben's career, we know how that season started for him, not good. But I think you got to go back a while to find a Steelers season that has as much legitimate intrigue and as many people with something to seriously prove as the 2025 Steelers do.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Donnie, Lennox has gotten the backpack lunchbox combo this year, and I did feel a slight pang of my oldest is getting old. He had like a dinosaur backpack last year, and Alex let him pick this year's, and he just went, his favorite color is orange. He just went with a black and orange Adidas. Like, no characters, no nothing on it. No, like, oh, this is like Lightning. You know, I remember Lightning McQueen was his backpack or whatever for preschool. Now he's just got like the sharp looking Adidas bag of like a grown. I feel like he's a grown up kid.
Very plain for a fellow that young.
Well, he's got like a Nintendo Switch lunchbox. Does that work? Like where it looks like a Nintendo Switch design?
Okay, yeah, that changes things a little bit. But yeah, I had the football shaped lunchbox.
Oh, I bet you. See, this is the thing though. I put it in a brown paper bag. I didn't have a lunchbox. A little plastic deal with like the, you know, hitch up. No, I just put a brown paper bag. Now they let these kids put the lunch in you know, in the refrigerator. My God, we had processed lunch meat probably sitting in a locker that was at 85 degrees or whatever for 5 hours before we would eat it. What are we talking about here? The YouTube commenters have chimed in. Rob said it's the most intriguing season since Ben's elbow put him out. We've also, same guy, O-line and secondary needing to gel is an issue. And Little Iggy says, any tips on how to get my first girlfriend? Has an Austin Bechtold burner entered the chat on YouTube? I wonder. I remember I tried to, really quick here. Do you remember how I tried to help Austin, like, get out there and meet women? I
said he was not having it.
Dude, I was legitimately very pissed off at him for this. I said, do something out of your comfort zone. Like, join a book club, or if you hate reading and you only want to read sports books, go find, like, a thing that's doing a cooking class. Just show up there as a guy who is interested in learning how to cook. Like, you don't even have to be interesting at that point. Just the fact that you are a single dude there who wants to learn how to make basic foods might make you an interesting enough person that somebody strikes up a conversation. I'm not going to do that. Trying to lead the horse to water and it wouldn't drink.
Should take his dog to a dog park.
Does he have a dog?
I thought he did.
That's actually another one. Take your dog to a dog park. Just go out there and talk to people. And don't make it all about sports. It's not hard to do. I thought I gave him good advice, and I will never forget. He had that emphatic city limits tone about him. Hey, come on, Malzy. Who's going to do that? Pfft. All right, buddy. I'll tell you what, haunting the YouTube comments this morning absolutely drove home to me. He is not the people's champ in there, that's for sure. He is... He is, you know what he is, Donnie? Here's a wrestling reference. He's more Rocky Maivia in there than The Rock. He's getting bat. He's getting leave the building heat.
Oh, yeah, you don't want that.
He's getting that X-Pac heat from circa 2000, 2001, baby. They're not booing because you're a bad guy and they're supposed to boo you. They're booing for other reasons. Rob is on 93.7, The Fan, eve of training camp. Where's this Steelers season rank for palace intrigue and just general storylines heading into the year? I say at least you got to go back to 2019, the first post AB year. What's up, Rob? Rob.
Yo.
Yo.
Hey, first time I've talked to you.
What's up?
You know, I gotta tell you this. Sometimes I just hop on here with my heads and I'm driving my big Kenworth here and I can't get you guys. Sometimes I'm up on I-80. So I hop on and I listen. So I'm right there. But I just got to say, I am so super psyched for this year to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there's so many naysayers about him, and I'm one of them, kind of, you know, on his off-the-field kind of stuff. But I just hope that the Steelers slam everybody this year and to actually go get a freaking trophy. That would be one of the best sports stories of all time. That's it.
All right. You know what I respect? You're in a large truck, and you can't get quite the signal because it can be a little goofy if you go a certain degree north, although usually I find it's pretty reliable north, and then I think out till Youngstown I've had it, and then 92.3 in Cleveland kind of, there's like a very brief period where you can hear us or them, and then I think it switches over depending on the direction you're going. I kind of respect that old school move, Don. He's like, I'm just going to call in and sit on hold so I can hear the show. I'm just going to listen through my phone a different way. The Rodgers thing probably is. I mean, I tried to be a little extra there and go into all the different storylines. The real one is you just signed a 41-year-old quarterback who's going to be 42 because on some level your head coach is addicted to the idea that he can compete with a roster that most people don't think is really built to win in the way the NFL is contested anymore. It's way too defense heavy. And your tonic or your solution for that, at least from the head coach's perspective, was why don't I collect this baseball card and see if it works? Oh, sure, he went 5-12 and it was pretty dysfunctional with the Jets. Don't worry, we're not the Jets. We're the Steelers, the bastions of stability. Except, wait, we kind of have some Jets-like tendencies now, too. That is the story, and it's going to be the story. I mean, Watt living up to his deal. Tomlin maybe looking in Art Rooney the second's eyes like less infallible than he has in the past if this goes belly up. All those things are secondary collectively to does Aaron Rodgers have it? Because by the way, if Rodgers does still somehow have it, then Tomlin does look like a genius for being the clear and obvious person pursuing him this offseason. This man haunts the YouTube comments. He also haunts the phone lines. He is the leader, the founder of the vaunted Barber Football Focus and the leader of the PM Team's Lunatic Fringe. It's Johnny the Barber. Hello, Johnny.
Hello, fellas. And Chris, you're quite a good Samaritan trying to help Austin out. I don't think you could set that little guy in front of Forever 21 with a baby finger monkey and get any interest. It's just it's a sad situation. But the main reason I called was, want to know why you think you're not going to coach our team, the YouTube team.
I don't know, man. Wiffle ball's not really my sport, Johnny.
Well, it's not really a sport, dude. It's just us, you know, going out, getting drunk, bringing a lot of hot women, and tormenting the little kids that we play. It'll be a good time, I promise.
So I just want to stress here that the goal is to torment Bechtold and his, basically professional wiffle ball team.
Oh, yeah. We're just taunt them the whole time.
What position do you play on the wiffle ball diamond?
I'm a multi-position player.
Do you pitch?
I can play infield. Yes, I pitch. I'll probably be.
What's your out pitch with a wiffle ball? Because you can make those bad boys curve 20 feet, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it depends. If it's an unlimited arc league, or it depends on, you know, how much arc I'm allowed to have.
Let's say it is limited arc.
Limited arc, I'm bringing it right close to the chest, straight down.
Right close to the chest, straight down. When are you doing this wiffle ball game where you're going to get one over on Austin and score your final victory against him in terms of he'll be too embarrassed to continue and he'll never play wiffle ball again?
Yeah, this is basically break his spirit.
Yeah, right. When are you doing this?
We're trying to arrange it now, but
just to be clear, if his team is so overmatched against you, why do you need me to be like your personal Connie Mack or John McGraw here? Not that I'm not enthusiastic about doing it. It's just, I mean, I might actually be subtraction by addition. I'm a strong personality, Johnny. And if I'm on that bench, cussing people out like Tony La Russa, it could be a problem.
The YouTube men voted, and you're our guy. We need you. We want you. We don't want Pony. We don't want Cam Hayward.
If Jory Rand's taint says it, it must be so. If he votes it.
Oh, it is.
All right.
It's fact. Don't ask him his real name, by the way.
Do you have any Ohio State baseball players you can name before I let you go? Famous guys who went to Ohio State and played baseball.
Not a one.
Anything else?
Football focus only focuses on
true
football.
Even though one of the most famous individual athletes to ever live went to Ohio State.
All of them.
Jack Nicklaus. Anything else?
Ohio.
Hey, speaking of which, now that my computer is fixed, what did I see sitting in, was it in Bechtold's folder? Bechtold cuts a lot of sound, very diligent. Yeah, listen to this. Check this out, Don. Do you got the headphones on? You hear this bad boy? Listen to this that I saw. I was like, what is this? It's got Callis's name attached. This was in his folder yesterday.
High five ball! Deep to right! And gone! It's gone! Circle City Whipple going to the championship!
Come on! What is that? It sounds like Callis. Is that what Bechtold's team is called? Circle City Wiffle?
Yeah, I don't know what his team's name is.
But that's definitely Callis doing play-by-play for Wiffle Ball?
I mean, that's definitely what it is. I don't know if it's Bechtold's team. Did Callis, send him a demo reel or something?
You know what that is? That's just one of those things I saw in there. I played it off the air, yesterday, and I just scratching my head. What am I watching? What am I listening here? What is going on? Why are we doing any of this? What's the point of it all? That kind of thing. That's kind of how I felt watching it, or listening.
I'm Kristen Press. And I'm Tobin Heath. We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, that music means, as you are well aware, that it is time for Donnie's debrief, and it's brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Donald, take it away.
The debrief, July 22, 2025. Malzi, there has been a little slew of player retirements in the last 24 hours, and some of these guys have not played a game in multiple seasons, but three pretty notable guys.
Okay.
That have retired all within the last day or so. So Philip Rivers, he put out a retirement video yesterday. He last played in the league in 2020 with the Colts, but he did not officially retire until yesterday, and he retired as a member of the Chargers.
I would hope so.
I thought he...
the logic, though? I guess he was keeping the door open in case somebody needed him. Like, you can just unretire, can't you? I know it's... In his case, he might feel like he has a shot at the Hall of Fame, so when you retire, then your five-year clock starts, right? It's not from the time of your last game. You have to officially file retirement papers to start that five-year window, don't you?
So that's what I thought, yeah.
Not the case?
Well, no, that's okay. Like, that's what I'm thinking.
Assuming,
I don't
right.
know for sure. I mean, I'll have to
right.
look that up real quick.
Because that seems like a little...
If that's the case, he'd be eligible like next year.
I don't think he's going to get in early. I think it would
right,
take him
would
a while.
Be eligible.
But like... Yeah, I would think that if you, I guess it would make more sense to me that it's what I think it would be more sensible are two different things. It would seem to me that it's just should be 5 years from the time you last played. And if you unofficially, you were not officially retired, so what? You didn't play football at all. You weren't on a team 5 years. But I'm willing to bet that the rule is you have to officially retire from the sport before you can start your five-year clock.
Yeah, so now this is saying that the clock for a player starts when they retire.
So that would, to me, say when you officially tell everybody, hey, I'm retired, because otherwise you're just kind of out there as a free agent.
Yeah, which...
Your designation is not retired. You are a free agent player.
So Philip Rivers, one of those guys. Jimmy Graham also announcing his retirement. He played last in 2023, so more recently. He just did not play in 2022 or 2024, but he had a whopping 6 grabs for 39 yards. Funny enough, 4 touchdowns in 2023.
Which is crazy.
On 6 catches. That's like a Bettis.
I was just going to say.
Late career Bettis stat line.
That's the Jerome Bettis fantasy football stat line of all time. For
and
those
then,
of you that don't know, 5 carries, 1 yard, 3 touchdowns. Still the best fantasy line in history.
And then Tyrann Mathieu today announcing his retirement as a member of the New Orleans Saints. Now, he spent time with a few teams.
All right,
he was one of the most electric college players ever, but I was going to ask you, rank the three guys.
Well, first off, let me tell you one thing. Honey Badger retiring, I know he's only 33. It still makes me feel old as just absolute hell, dude. Like I
could vividly remember him at LSU.
Like, yeah, I remember him bursting on the scene as like a freshman. Like, I remember that because we were starting as a station when he would have, I think, been a freshman at LSU.
I think, at least at his best year, he had an argument for the Heisman Trophy.
All right, rank these three. Ooh, boy, this is tough. All right, here's where I'm going. I'm going to go Rivers 1, and that's because quarterback is still an inherently more important position than the rest of them. And Philip Rivers' career is going to be good enough that I think he's going to end up in conversations of, he won't be called the greatest. Marino's the best quarterback, never to win a Super Bowl in the Super Bowl era. There's no doubt about that, right? He's going to end up being in that tier very obviously below Marino for me of, if you put Philip Rivers in a slightly different situation, he wins one. I think he's sniffing around a Hall of Fame kind of career. Who's a better quarter? Let me ask you this. So I'll say this. Rivers, Honey Badger, Graham in that order. 1, 2, 3. Honey Badger.
That would
be
my same.
Honey Badger's got 3 first team all pros. Graham.
And he's on the all 2010s
team. Yeah. Graham at his best was really, really good, but Honey Badger had one of those sneaky great careers. Who's a better quarterback career wise? Who had the better career? Philip Rivers or Matt Ryan?
I think I would say Rivers. But I mean, I
Ryan's got an MVP and had. Partly through his own fault. Yeah, doorstep of 28-3. Hello, Atlanta. But to me, Rivers is the better player. Ryan's best year was better than any year Rivers had, but I think Rivers is a more deserving Hall of Fame guy, don't you?
That's at least like blind look at both of them, I would think Rivers. Like if I'm out on the street and you ask me who had the better NFL career, I would say Phillip Rivers.
Higher passer rating by a nose is Phillip Rivers. That one Ryan season is just so exceptional, where he was just across the board phenomenal. Football Reference does approximate value, and his approximate value in 10 fewer games is 8 less than Rivers. So that suggests to me that Rivers, they think, is a slightly better player. I don't feel like it's that close, though, man. Like, if you give me the choice, I think Rivers was pretty clearly, like, a cut above him.
Yeah, I mean, and there's...
It's just that Ryan got all the way there once, and he won the biggest award. Like, I would never... I think we've had this argument where I've squinted and tried to troll you guys and said Ryan was better than Big Ben, but he's not, obviously.
No.
Like, he's not in that same class.
But that's the thing. Like, okay, in his best season, in his very best season,
he
sure,
was yeah.
But it's like, okay, like, Rich Gannon, are we going to say that he's better than those guys?
Here's an interesting thought question, though. Who's better, career-wise, Matt Ryan or Eli Manning? Because Eli Manning's, his career legacy is very much tied up in two absolute insane... Yeah. Heater playoff runs. Eli Manning turned into the best quarterback in football two separate times.
Right, that's...
Slayed the actual best quarterback two separate times. To me, Matt Ryan is a better player than Eli Manning, but like Eli's going to go in the Hall of Fame, I would think, before Matt Ryan would get in.
Yeah, the thing with Eli, because I think I would go with him here, if he didn't beat who he beat both times... I really think that impacted his whole career. Like, the fact that he beat Brady and Belichick.
He's a 500 quarterback for his career. He's exactly 500 for his career. Do you know that? He's 117 and 117.
And he never won a playoff game outside of those 2 years.
His last 6 years in the league. No, his last 7 years in the league, he went 11-5 in 2016. They did not have a winning record his last 7 years in the league. 7-9, a pair of 6-10s, 11-5, 3-12, 5-11. Then he went 1-3 his very last year. Dude, he has one of the wildest careers I have ever seen. Sometimes I go and look at the Eli Manning page, and I'm just like, he's way closer to just a guy than he is anything else.
Yeah, now that I have Ryan's numbers pulled up.
I put you in a blender here, man.
I know. It just, like, those two Super Bowls for Eli carry so much weight.
No, I know. It's easy
I know it's easy to say that for, like, anybody. Like, okay, he won two Super Bowls. It's who he beat. Like, he was the quarterback that beat a team that was about to go 19-0.
No, I know. And he made all the big plays to do it. And then he straight up balled out in the second one against them.
Yeah,
And whooped their asses. He was ultra clutch.
He beat the greatest quarterback of all time twice in the biggest game.
So Matt Ryan's worst season. Now, I am just using a blunt instrument stat here. Passer rating, just for you know what's in giggles, was an 80.9, okay? That would be better than six of Eli Manning's seasons where he actually played at least seven games.
Yeah, I think I want to go with Matt Ryan.
I think he's better. I think he's better player. Okay, here's a weird quick distinction, really fast. I think we would agree Matt Ryan's a better player. Who had a better NFL career? Because can you say winning two Super Bowls and beating the undisputed GOAT means you had this weird paradox? Better career, worse player.
Yes, and then that's Eli.
All right, this was a good one. We went down a rabbit hole. Isn't that the whole point of this? Is that we're never supposed to start end where we started? I think that's what we did here. We have coming up, I'm going to give credit to my guy, Ocho Texto, one of our longest tenured listeners of this station. Ocho's been there since pretty much day one. I'm a big Ocho Texto fan. He hit me last night on Twitter. He DM'd me a random question. I'm not going to tell you who inspired it, but he hit me with a question about Pittsburgh sports history that I am very excited to pose. I think this one's going to be fun for you guys to get in on coming up next. We always like reveling in stuff when it goes sideways, right?
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.